God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom be
across the
job, folks. Beautiful job. Well, here we are, mid-November. We're looking at Thanksgiving right around the corner. I hope everybody's making their plans. If I did want to announce, Kathy Sharkett, she was telling me earlier that the Thanksgiving dinner for the Saturday after Thanksgiving is no longer on. That had been planned for the students at Prism, but she spoke with Scott Boyd, and according to him, all of the students actually have host families to go to for Thanksgiving. So there we go, huh? Praise the Lord for that. So we won't be having the Thanksgiving dinner. I remembered the announcement, Kathy. I knew you'd be proud. All right. But I do thank everyone who was so willing to be a part of that. And maybe next year it might work out that we will hold something like that. But for this year, that's not going to happen. So you guys are all free to go hunting on Saturday if you want. So. Hey, I wanted to congratulate everybody, all of our new boards, all of our officers. Thanks again for your willingness to serve, and we appreciate that. I want you to, if possible, if you've been elected to a board, make the meeting for this month. If you just made, for instance, anyone who is on the preschool board or the trustee, feel free to attend the meeting tomorrow night. Definitely, I want you to attend the December meeting. So the way we want to try to do things is we took all the strength, weaknesses, opportunities off of that board, put them all, tried to digest them, tried to get everything into a nice little package, and I want the boards in December to be able to set their goals for 2019. If you don't set your goals until January or February, you've already lost time in the year to accomplish them. So your goals should be set, your new officers should be elected, your chairs, everything should be done in December. That way when January starts, you're rolling. And it's just one month less than you can put things off for. So please, If you've been newly elected to one of these committees or boards, please be there at the meeting for this month, or definitely for December.
The
we have council tomorrow night.
We do. It's the third.
No, it's only the second Monday.
Really?
Tomorrow's the 12th. Somebody misled you. She misled you. No council meeting. No, I say we haven't even had a. You can.
No, I'm not making dessert.
You can come to the trustee board meeting and bring rice pudding. That would be great. I'm just saying. Yeah, right. Amen. I get an amen from Randy on that one. It is. It is. Okay, so preschool and trustees tomorrow. Preschool at 6:30 and trustees at 7. Actually, school board. Shouldn't be preschool. I keep saying that, but that's the school meeting tomorrow. Soup luncheon is going to be next Sunday. Everybody ready for that?
Amen.
All right. It's going to be good. I got fresh pheasants that are just waiting to be, have some dumplings added to them, and I'll be bringing that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful soup Sunday. Also, we're going to be blessed because our new missionaries, the, now I forgot his name, Bowsers. They're going to be here, and please, you don't want to miss them. Wonderful young people, love the Lord. They are so excited about their new ministry up in the mountains, up in Somerset, and you don't want to miss their presentation. Chris and Lindy, wonderful people. Please make sure you're here, and then we're going to have our soup luncheon afterwards. And there is a special surprise for the soup luncheon, thanks to a wonderful idea from Jess. And so if you don't like it, blame her. And oh, it's so hard. No, it's a wonderful time, but we have a nice little surprise for the soup luncheon as well. Please don't miss it. It's a great time to invite somebody new and invite them and say, hey, I'll even buy you lunch afterwards. Then you say, well, you know what? We'll just go downstairs and eat, you know. Wonderful time. So please come hungry, but come ready to enjoy what the Bowsers have to bring to us as well. It's going to be a wonderful Sunday. Good point. Yeah, we do need soups. We do need desserts because I'm not making enough pheasant and dumplings for everybody. There might be one or two pots made. My brother. Close to 400 soups again, yeah? Close to 400 soups. So come very, you know, I'm counting on people bringing a lot. I'll bring close to 200, sure. We have close to enough outlets. I love relative terms, you know, because you can just play with them all you want. Yeah, it's going to be a good Sunday, though, guys. Please, like I said, we do need desserts and soups, and you know, get your specialty and show off. Bring what you can make, and let's have a blast and just enjoy one another's company. But especially now that it's getting cold, man, that soup tastes so much better when it's cold outside. And so come hungry and come ready to enjoy. A few other things we have going on, our Veterans Bible Study. Spike's going to be teaching that on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. The deadline for your shoeboxes is today. So I hope you brought your shoeboxes. It's a wonderful, there's a lot of them here. And all right. Good job. Kathy. Okay. So just in case somebody you forgot your box today, we're going to be here tomorrow, not for council meeting, but we're going to be here tomorrow for trustees. And so if you forgot your box, give it to Kim because she's bringing the rice pudding anyway. She can bring the boxes over. We'll be here tomorrow night from 6:30 to about 8:30 if you want to drop your boxes off. And then, of course, even through the day, our school's here. And just ring the bell, and Yvonne will come and take the box for you, too. So if you want to make, you can still get one in. If you already made one and you have it at the house and forgot to bring it, you know, you got a couple days to get it here to us. But guys, done wonderful this year. This is great to see this many, and I've seen some people walking in there, got a couple more, so it's going to be a great it's a great time to do this. It's a wonderful outreach, and we just praise the Lord that everybody just took it and ran with it the way they did. Here comes another box in the door right now. This is great. Okay, so we're taking ours over Wednesday night, but If you're still not done and you want to do one Saturday, you can get it over to Homestead Park United Methodist and drop it off directly there. Let me see, what else do we have? The cookbooks, don't forget those. Those are going to make wonderful Christmas gifts. Don't forget our nursery. And I did want to say this, today is Veterans Day, and we have a program to help our veterans. And so I really thank everybody for what they've done, and all of you veterans out there, we certainly thank all of you for your service. And what a great way to thank our veterans than to be a part of this program that our deaconesses have put together. There is a new list in the church lobby. Combs, denture cleaner are needed. The beautiful quote here, they have defended us. Please remember to help them. Do we have any other announcements?
Christmas,
my brother.
Christmas group meeting
after church. Will there be rice pudding?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It was a blast. Anybody, thanks to everybody who worked it. Scarf and a hat. Yeah, gloves came in handy too. It was good. But once we got that fire rolling, it got warm out there. It really did. And it was a nice time. It was a real nice time. But some people didn't think it got warm. Not everybody has iron in their blood, I tell you. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Aletha got a new grandson this week, by the way, too. So praise the Lord for him. He was 29 weeks when he was born? Okay. Okay. Yay. It's great to hear. Congratulations again. Any others? Yes, Caroline. Thank you. Yeah, the folks do love it, guys. They do love it. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the God that you are. Lord, there's so much that we're grateful for, but nothing more than your mercy, your patience with us, and the mercy that you've extended to us, the grace, the undeserved love that you have just poured upon us. Lord, we pray that not only would we appreciate how much you love us, but that we would show our appreciation by being loving toward one another, by being loving toward those who maybe haven't seen a lot of love in their lives. We just ask, dear God, that you would continue to work on our hearts, make us more and more like you each and every day. Lord, there's so many couldn't be here today with different problems going on in their lives, some with medical problems and weaknesses and illnesses. We pray, dear God, that you'd be with them in a very special way. Lord, we thank you for this new baby. We thank you, Lord, for bringing, although he be it a little bit early, dear God, you brought him here and you're bringing him through his problems. Dear God, we just thank you for so much that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for being with so many here in the church as they've went through hard times and different struggles. You never said that we wouldn't struggle, but you did promise that we will never struggle alone. So, Lord, we thank you for the strength that you give us every time we need to rise up and face a challenge. Lord, we pray for those who had to work today. We thank you, dear God, that they were given a chance to support their families, that they've been given a means to prosper in this world in which we live. God, please, Lord, just let them have a feeling. Let them know that we are holding them up and we miss them, but we understand why they can't be with us. And Lord, we pray diligently for those who simply chose to not be here today, who don't see any value in being a part of a fellowship. And God, we just ask that you would just touch their hearts in a very special way. As we listen to children and they'll say, I don't know why mommy and daddy don't want to come to church. We pray, dear God, that you would just work on their hearts. Let them see what they're missing. Dear Lord, as we worship you today, we ask that our worship would not be one that's rooted in tradition, it's rooted in self-righteousness, or rooted in anything other than our love for you and for one another. Dear God, we pray that things that are in our lives that should not be, that you would work upon us as individuals, and that you would let our love for you always remind us of a need that we should have to please you in each and everything that we do. Dear God, we ask that also our worship today would be genuine and it would be authentic. Don't let us simply go through the motions of worship. Don't let us put in our time here today. Let today be a day that the music, the scripture, the sermons, the everything that is said, every prayer, every song, let it be one that makes us closer to one another, closer to you, and changes our lives. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We could have our ushers come forward. We'll take up this morning's offering. As they're coming up, I wanted to share with you, too, a letter that we received. It's from Karen Willard. Incidentally, John has just been transferred back to Jefferson Hospital with a blood clot in his that was in danger of going to his heart. And so he's back at Jefferson again this morning. But she wrote, "Dear Calvary family, a heartfelt thanks for your continuous prayers and many cards of encouragement. Your thoughtfulness and your generous kindness is sincerely appreciated. We feel the extension of our Father's love light shining from each of you." And isn't that beautiful? Because exactly what we pray. Please let them feel the love that we're praying. Let them feel as we pray for people. And she signs it, "Your thoughtfulness means so much. God bless. In Him, John, Karen, Chris, and Hannah." My brothers, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm going to take a cue from Dennis, and I got a captive audience, so why not preach? Why not? Yay, micro sermon. So first, brothers and sister veterans, if you have served in the United States military in any form or fashion, would you please raise your hand? Ladies and gentlemen, look around you. We are truly blessed in America where we get to live in this amazing country where we have the freedom of religion and we have the freedom of speech and the right to peaceably assemble. And it's only because of men and women like those that you just saw their hands raised that have given you that right. Sadly, veterans are pretty much cast aside once our service is done. 22 plus veterans commit suicide every day. Did you know that? It breaks my heart. Not as much as this next statistic. 23% of all homeless in the United States are United States military veterans. See, depression, anxiety, it's a very real thing. You don't have to have been through combat to have a form of PTSD. Just signing that dotted line opens you up to that ability. Having that John 15:13 heart, "For no greater love hath a man than this, than he should lay down his life for his brother." So here we are, young men and women, 17, 18, 19, and they train us for combat. And that's what we know, and we're prepared for that constant threat and that constant threat. And then we get out, and we don't know what to do because there's no threat. We're waiting for that threat around the corner, but it's not there. So, like others that suffer from depression, we start telling ourselves lies. We start saying things like, "It's impossible, I'm too tired, I can't make it." And we forget what God has told us when we say these lies to ourselves. You don't have to be a veteran to have depression and to sit there and feel this way. Dennis and I counsel many people that have these constant thoughts. See, I do it too. I say it to myself. It's impossible. But God says, all things are possible through me. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. I'm too tired, God. He says, I'll give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Nobody loves me. Who here has told themselves that? You don't have to raise your hand, but just. God says, I have loved you with everlasting love. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I messed up. Bad, God. I really messed up. And he says, your mistakes don't define you. In Psalm 37, verse 24. I can't do it. He says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In Philippians 4, 13. God, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Nope, I'm done. He says, my grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. We keep lying to ourselves. We say things like, oh, I'm not able. God says, I'm able. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I'm always worried. God says, cast all your cares on me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Many veterans, and I felt like this, you know, I feel alone. I wrote a song about it. God says, I will never leave you, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. God, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. And he says, I will direct your steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. You see, every lie we tell ourselves, whether veteran or not, God has the answers. It's in the Bible that we don't pick up and we do not read. Meanwhile, that is how he speaks to us. Veteran or not, God is talking to you. And I'm here just to tell you, as somebody who's been on both sides of the fence, stop talking, stop lying to yourself, and listen, and pick up the Word of God.
Thank you, gentlemen. Brother George, will you ask a blessing on our offering, please?
Your Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for having the opportunity to serve you, Lord. I thank you for these tithes, Lord, that we may use them as you see fit, Lord. But also, Lord, as we look into this room, we see the lights shining down on us. We see the sun out there. There's a lot of people living in darkness.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, let us be that light. Let us be that salt on the earth that brings people to you, Lord. It just doesn't stop with this money, Lord. This money is just a small thing, Lord. It's what's in our hearts. It's the way we act. It's the way we talk. And it's the way we want to bring people to Christ that really matters. And then we can only do that when we take people out of that darkness with your light. Allow us to look in our hearts here today, Lord, and see, do I need change?
Yes, Jesus.
It's so easy to drop money into that plate. But it's a lot harder living as you have called us to do, Lord.
Amen.
So, Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us search our hearts to see you, Lord, and seek you through your word. Read it like my brother just spoke about, so we may understand. Your love is more powerful than anything we can even imagine, and you love us. Thank you, Lord. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Great job, Spike. The stones will cry out, right?
All right. Love you to stand and join us.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. on my own. And like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Once in darkness. Remember those days? Ooh, yuck. But anyway, he has brought us all out of darkness into the light of his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We saw the light. We're in the light. Amen.
Amen.
Right, if you're not familiar with this song, what we usually do is the gentlemen start it and the ladies echo it back. Okay? You guys ready?
I will worship. With all of my heart,
with all of my heart,
I will praise you, with all of my strength,
all my strength.
I will seek you, all of my day,
all of my day.
I will follow, all of your ways. I will give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will bow down and hail you as King.
I will serve you, give you everything.
I will lift up my eyes to your throne. I will trust you alone. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my.
I will give you all my worship.
I will give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my.
Hope of a life spent with you.
altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Beautiful job, folks. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 5. We're also going to be jumping over to Hebrews a little bit as well, but as you turn to those, I wanted to share a couple things with you. A book of children's letters to God. There was an entry in there that caught my attention. And a little boy, he wrote, "Dear God, what is it like when a person dies? Nobody will tell me. I just want to know. I do not want to do it." Signed, Mike. Another youngster, Jane, she has this suggestion for the Lord. "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" An actor and director, Woody Allen, he voiced the same sentiments, and he said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." We're all curious about death, and we're curious about what happens after we die. But we read in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24, in the words of Jesus, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It's a verse that probably a lot of you have heard before, but I think maybe after today you might look at it just a little differently. And then later on in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 9, starting in verse 24, says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We're all curious about death, and we're curious about what happens after we die. And the thing is, it's not just an intellectual matter. There's more involved than just what's going on inside your head. Because the topic of death is a matter of the heart. We know, like it or not, death is a part of our future. There was a professional golfer, his name was Paul Azinger. And he learned the hard way that very truth. He was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 33. And he had just won the PGA Championship, and he had 10 tournament victories to his credit. 33 years old, professional golfer, trophies. Wow, he's thinking, I've got life. This is awesome. And then he's diagnosed with cancer, and he wrote these words. He said, a genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. He said, but then another reality hit me even harder. He says, I'm going to die eventually anyway. Whether it's from cancer or from something else. It's just a question of when. Before this diagnosis, Paul Azinger, he lived for golf, nothing else. But one day, shortly after his diagnosis, he remembered some words he once heard in a Bible study. And this is what I was referring to when I meant that I hope that verse from John might mean a little differently to you today. I just love this when I read this quote. He said when he was in his Bible study, he heard his teacher say this. He said, we are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living. And we don't think of it that way, do we? We think of it like this is all there is. This is it. You know, I've got to amass as much wealth as I possibly can. I have to make as big a name for myself as I possibly can. We watch our movies, we read the mythology, different books, and they talk about the land of the dead. We talk about what it's like and things along those lines. And we refer to the dead coming back to life. We refer to all of these different things. But in essence, we are living in the land of the dying now. But we are going to the land of the living. Well, he absorbed this reality, and it led him to have a living hope and a faith in Jesus Christ. He recovered, and he went back to playing golf. But the bout with cancer changed his life dramatically. He would later write, I have learned the only way to true contentment. Anybody else looking for contentment in life? The only way to true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I am not saying that nothing ever bothers me, and I do not have any problems, but I feel like I have found the answer to the 6-foot hole. The most important lessons in life wrapped up in 3 short statements. Life is short, death is certain, and eternity is forever. Now imagine how depressing that would be without that last phrase. But a lot of folks in our world, they don't have that last phrase. I remember going to preach a funeral once for a man I had never met. The funeral director called, said his family has no one. Can you help us? And as I was coming through, one of the guys was standing at the door. He was a distant relative or friend. And he said, let me tell you what I learned about church when I was young. He said, one of the ladies in the church come up to me and says, you were put on this earth to suffer and die. He said, that's what I got out of church. I'm like, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, that was the way she wrapped up life. You are here to suffer and die. Yeah, no wonder the guy seemed so grumpy. You know, that's what he believed. Life is short, death is certain, but eternity is forever. We pretty much got the first 2 down, right? But where do you go for information about that last part? Eternity is forever. Because that phrase is more than than just a self-defining phrase. It's not being repetitious. Who better to help you plan for your future than someone who has already been there? Who better to take you into eternity than someone who holds the keys to life and death? There were three friends, and they were discussing death. And one of them asked the group, "What would you like people to say about you at your funeral?" And one guy said, "Well, I would like them to say he was a great humanitarian. He cared about his community." And a friend who initiated the conversation, he spoke up and he said, "I would like for them to say he was a great husband and a great father and a wonderful example for people to follow." And the third guy looked up and shaking his head in agreement. And he said, "I would like for them to say, look, he's moving." But our text in Hebrews makes it very clear, doesn't it? It's appointed unto all mortals once to die. Once. Death is a part of life. And sadly, some are convinced that that's all there is. That death is the end of existence. But note that verse again, just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. Death is not an end in itself, because after death, there's a judgment. An elderly lady, she's riding a crowded bus, and she's quietly reading her Bible, minding her own business, and this rather distinguished-looking older man, he took a seat beside her, and after a while, he glanced over to see what she was reading, and he introduced himself. He says, "Hello, my name is Professor Smith. I teach philosophy at the university. Please don't tell me you actually believe that stuff that you're reading." "I certainly do," the lady replied, "every word of it." "Even that story about Jonah and the whale?" he challenged with a smirk. "And of course," she replied. And he said, "Can you prove to me that that story is true?" And knowing that there was no way she was going to win an argument with this guy, there's nothing she could say to anybody who had already closed up his mind anyway, she just said, "Well, no," she said, "but when I'll know it's true when I get to heaven and I see Jonah." And the professor smiled. He said, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven?" And she laid her Bible down and looked him square in the eye, and she replied, "Well, then you can ask him." Yeah, that got his attention, wouldn't it? Death is a part of life, and death is followed by judgment, and judgment by eternity. But the thing is, not everybody gets the same judgment. You often hear people contend, "Well, spirituality, spiritual matters, they're not really all that important because we all go to the same place in the end anyway." And those who make that claim are partly what, right? We're all headed to the same place, the judgment of God. But then the path separates. Because Jesus said there are two roads, the straight and the narrow, and the broad and the wide. One is popular, the other less so. One leads to life, the other to destruction. And death is not the end to itself. We are appointed to die, and after that, the judgment. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, death does not mean uncertainty and fear. Note the rest of our passage. Just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. I'm sure you were waiting for me to get to something positive, right? Because it was really depressing up till now. That's what Jesus is coming to do, to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. A lot of people tell me, "Well, the Bible's confusing, and I don't get this, I don't get that." As far as this goes, the Bible is crystal clear. Death is a physical issue, but ultimately, it's a spiritual issue. Because our Creator formed us for life and fellowship with him for all of eternity. We use this word, life, and we call it life. But we let it mean so many different things. What I'm talking about is a fulfilled life. Living in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Living in a personal relationship with the one, with the God who formed us in our mother's womb. The one who says, when you were in the womb, I knew you. Sin is rejecting our Maker, refusing to walk in His ways. We don't have a list of sins, per se. I mean, there are some lists in the Bible, but it's not complete. When somebody asks me to define what is sin, I tell them, sin is anything that keeps you from God. Sin is anything that comes between you and your relationship with God. Sin is anything that you choose rather than choosing God. Physical death is the result of living in a world filled with sin, dominated by sin. Remember what the serpent said to Eve. You will not surely die. God is afraid you'll become like Him. It started with that lie, with that appeal, with her telling, with the serpent telling Eve that God was lying to her. Don't believe God. Take of that fruit. And the barrier between God and man was formed at that very moment. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because He loves us. There is no other reason than that. There's nothing that we can do for Him that He can't do for Himself. He certainly doesn't need us, but He wants us. And why would He want us? Because He loves us. His words, His works, they show us the Father. And He said He came to lay down His life as a ransom for many, to pay the price for our sins. The Bible uses the word transgressions. In the Gospel of John in 5:24, I tell you, verily, very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. And this is the promise, guys. This is the most beautiful phrase. And does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. To believe the message of Jesus in your heart, to confess Him as Lord and Savior with your lips, and to commit your life to Him, that transfers you from life unto death. And then from death unto life. Those who have a hope in Jesus Christ have a totally different perspective about death. The future is no longer dark. The future is no longer unknown because we will know everything that lies on the other side of eternity. You see, the beautiful thing is, and I share this with my residents at Kane all the time. I said, we are worried about so many things that are going on in our world today, in our lives today. We worry about paying our bills. We worry about pleasing people in our lives. We worry about offending our friends and our family. We worry about being there for people who need us. We worry about so many things that are completely beyond our own control, but yet we allow ourselves to be consumed with anxiety, with depression, and with just so many things that keep us from enjoying what God wants us to enjoy. And we get so wrapped up in all of those types of things. And I tell them, I can't wait for 10,000 years from now and we all gather together up in heaven somewhere and we can laugh about what fools we were. We were so worried about those things and now they mean absolutely nothing. Why did we miss out on all that joy we could have had? Why did we embrace that worry? Why did we embrace that? Don't we feel stupid? Because of Jesus Christ, the future is no longer dark. It's no longer unknown. And we know what lies on the other side of eternity. We know that Jesus has prepared a place for us. And it's that knowledge, that promise, should affect the way we live. So since Jesus has promised this to us, if we do not act on that, and if we do not let that change the way we live, do you realize that we are saying exactly what Satan tried to trick Eve into doing? We don't believe God. Anyone disagree? It makes sense, doesn't it? If we don't trust the promises of God, it means we don't believe him. And that's exactly what he whispered to Eve. You will not surely die. God's afraid you'll become like him. We need to stop believing Satan and start believing God. It does not mean that we don't mourn those who have passed away. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt when a loved one dies. God made us with the capacity to love. When we were made in God's image, we were made to have compassion. We were made to be loving. We were made to care. So yeah, it hurts. It hurts deeply. No matter how much time has passed, especially the holiday season when you sit around a table and you know somebody's missing. You don't want to say their name, but you know it's not right because they're not there. The first year after my father passed, we had a big Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. And it was wonderful for me because I didn't have to sit at that table, my mom and dad's house, without my dad there. And the pain that I felt was substituted, and it was alleviated because I got to serve God and I got to be with God's people. That's one of the reasons why we have one another, because we're given one another to hold each other up, to comfort one another, but also to find joy in being together. For those who die in Christ Jesus, we mourn with hope. We know that death has been defeated. We know that Jesus reigns. We are a resurrection people. Max Lucado is a wonderful author. And he wrote in a book, 6 Hours One Friday. And he talked about an understanding of resurrection faith. And he tells the story as missionaries in Brazil. And he discovered a tribe of Indians in a very remote part of the jungle. And they lived near this large river. And the tribe was in need of medical attention. People were dying daily. And they were dying of a rather easily cured disease. But if they didn't have this cure, it was deadly. And there was a place just across the river where they could get this cure. But they wouldn't cross the river because they had been told for centuries, if you will, that the river was inhabited by evil monsters. And they were convinced that to enter that water meant certain death. And this missionary is getting so frustrated because he's saying, your certain death is not entering the water. If you don't do something about this, there's no way you're going to live. You have to cross the river to be cured. And they would not do it. And he's getting so frustrated because every day people are dying. And he said, I came across the river and I'm still here. They were not impressed. And he took them to the bank and he put his hand in the water. And they still wouldn't go in. So he gets into the water up to his waist and he splashed water on his face. Nope, they weren't moving. We'd rather sit here and die of this disease than risk these monsters we were told about. They were afraid to enter the river, even though he's in it up to his waist and he's splashing the water everywhere. So finally, he dives down into the river. He swam beneath the surface until he emerged clear up on the other side. And he jumps up and he puts that fist up in the air. Yeah! He had entered the water and he had escaped. And it was only then that the Indians broke into a cheer and they followed him across. And see, that's exactly what Jesus did. He shared with the crowds that they did not need to fear death. Yet they didn't believe. He told his disciples. It's very clear, several points in the Bible. He explains to them, I will be delivered into the hands of evil men. I will suffer and I will die. But after 3 days, I will rise again. Over and over, he told them this. So they knew what was going to happen, or they should have known. They watched him. He touched a dead boy and called him back to life. They still didn't believe. He whispered life into the body of a dead girl and they would not believe. He called a man out of a tomb who had been dead for 4 days. And still, they did not believe. And finally, just like that missionary, he plunged into the water. He went into the river of death and he came out on the other side. And that's Easter morning. That's when the ladies went to the tomb and there was no body to anoint. That's when they went back and they told the disciples, he is risen. And they went racing to see. And then they're thinking, oh yeah, he did say something about coming back, didn't he? Christ has conquered death. But not only for himself, but for all those who believe. The scriptures say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus paid, he paid it all. And he is the answer to that 6-foot hole. He's the answer. The thing that you fear the most, Jesus has the answer for. What's that old song? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I beg you today, it's right there. These scriptures make it so perfectly clear. We are living in the land of the dying. We are on our way to the land of the living. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the God that you are. Lord, we thank you for plunging into that river of death and coming out on the other side. And Lord, as we consider our lives and we consider all the things that just rack our brains and take peace and steal contentment away from us, God, we pray that we could trust you more. We pray that we would be closer to you. We pray that we would lean on one another for support more than we do. God, we pray that, Lord, let us look beyond this temporal world. Let us look into eternity. Our Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing on everyone who came out today. And we just pray, dear God, that you would make us into the people you want us to be. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn. And as we sing, thank you, man. If there's something on your heart, please come up and let me pray with you. Most importantly, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I would love to show you how. If there's been something on your heart and you just need somebody to pray with, I'm here, deacons, deaconesses. We're all a big family here. We would love to pray together. If you'd like to arrange to be baptized, if you'd like to become a member of Calvary Baptist, whatever it might be that's hanging on your heart this morning, you know, don't let all of us looking at you keep you from coming forward. We're not scary. We don't mean to be. We're family. We love one another. Give us that opportunity to be there for you. Yes?
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you are an awesome God, and we are in so, so much adoration of you and the love of Jesus Christ. God, let us go into this week with the confidence that you are with us wherever we go. God, let our words, let some of them be yours. Maybe they can touch somebody and help somebody and minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.